These last three Wednesday nights, we've looked at three different prayers from the Apostle Paul. This was a faithful servant who was imprisoned in Rome. He was unable to travel, unable to preach, but he prayed and he wrote. And we have what are called the prison epistles, as he wrote and prayed for these believers. To the Ephesians, he prayed for divine power. To the Colossians, he prayed for God's will. And to the Philippians, he prayed for spiritual maturity. And I'd still like to explore some more of Paul's prayers that we have in us, that we have preserved for us in the New Testament. But tonight we're going to look at a short prayer in the Old Testament. Pastor Jim asked me about a week ago if I would preach on a message that would prepare our hearts for the week of special meetings. And so I'd like for us to observe a brief prayer that was uttered by a young teenage boy, a prayer for a receptive heart. So let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we'll be looking at chapters 2 and 3. We come to a time in the history of Israel where there was an abundance of religious activity. There were priests who were servants in the temple, who were busy in fulfilling their duties. And there were people who were devout in coming regularly to the temple and offering sacrifices to God. But what verse 1 tells us in chapter 3 is that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no, it says, open vision. There was no widespread new revelation from God. God was silent to His people. One of the reasons for God's silence was the wicked character of the priests who were serving in the temple. Verse 17 of chapter 2 summarizes the lifestyle of Eli's sons who were serving in the temple. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And let's look at verses 22 and following of chapter 2 to see further description of their immoral lives. These were the men serving in the temple. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you do these things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. But in contrast to these wicked priests who blaspheme God by their immoral acts, we see a young man who also served in the temple alongside Eli. A young man by the name of Samuel. In chapter 3, verse 1, Samuel is introduced as a child who ministered unto the Lord. He was probably around 12 or 13 years old at the time. Samuel's birth, if you remember chapter 1, was an answer to prayer. A godly woman who was unable to have children pled with God for a child, and God gave her a son. And so in response to God's answer to prayer, Hannah, Samuel's mother, dedicated him to the service of the Lord. Throughout chapter 2, what we see is a contrast. He goes back and forth between Samuel and the wicked sons of Eli. So, for instance, verse 11 states, "The child ministered unto the Lord before Eli the priest." And then the next verse, verse 12, "The sons of Eli were sons of Belial," which means worthless. "They knew not the Lord." After describing Eli's sons again in those verses we already read, the narrator then states in verse 26 that Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And one day a messenger from the Lord came to Eli and told Eli his sons were going to die. But that messenger also told Eli that God would raise up a faithful priest, one that would live a holy life, one that would obey God. So Samuel continued to faithfully serve in the temple as a young man. One evening, Eli, an old man, lay down for a night's sleep. And Samuel also went to bed in his place in the temple. Sometime before dawn, Samuel was awakened by a sound. In fact, it was the sound of his own name, someone calling his name. We pick up the story in verse 4 of chapter 3. "The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou calledst me.' And he said, 'I called not. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou calledst me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" In a few minutes, we'll look at what God said to Samuel. But before we do that, I'd like us to first look at Samuel's response to the voice of God. He said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." I believe that this brief petition should really be the prayer of our hearts as we approach God speaking to us. Now, for Samuel, this was something special. He was listening to new revelation. God had especially chose Samuel to be a prophet. And he was speaking a new message to Samuel that Samuel was then in turn to then deliver and share with God's people. God is not delivering new revelation to us today. Here we have the completion of the Old and New Testament. But God has certainly spoken. He has spoken to us. He has revealed himself to us. He has told us how we can live a life that brings glory to him. And he has spoken through his inspired word, the Bible. And I believe that we should approach God's word when we hear it, when we read it, in the same way that Samuel approached the revelation that God gave to him. The question is not, has God spoken? God certainly has spoken to us. The question for us is, are we listening to God's message to us? Do you come to church with the cry of your heart saying, speak, Lord, for your servant hears? Tonight I'd like to make three simple observations from Samuel's response to God's word. So let's notice the first. We see Samuel's attention. Attention to God's word. Samuel says, speak, Lord. He's saying, Lord, I'm listening to you. So speak. Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor of the 19th century in London, told a story about a man who he had heard wanted Spurgeon to come visit him because he wanted some godly counsel. So Pastor Spurgeon went to visit him, but Spurgeon never said a word. The man just continued to talk for the whole hour. And so he just let him ramble on and then eventually left. Well, a few days later, another man was talking to Spurgeon and said, oh, so-and-so that you met with the other day said, Pastor Spurgeon is such a delight to converse with. And Spurgeon said, oh, yes, that is because I never interrupted the man. He wound up and I just let him run down. You know, some people, I think, often approach God that way, where we can talk and talk to God about our problems and that we need His help and that we have needs and that we need relief and we ask Him for blessing, but never listen to Him. Psalm 1 states that the blessed man is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. He listens to God through His word. God has spoken. Are you listening? James 1:19 gives us a command. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And so we must give our attention to God's word. Luke records for us a visit that Jesus made to the home of some friends. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, Luke tells us. Her sister Martha, however, was distracted with much serving. Finally, Martha spoke up. She said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I want you to listen very carefully to Jesus' response. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What is distracting you from that one thing that is needed? Have you allowed the busyness of life to crowd out the voice of God? Pastor Jim, each year, always asks us to set a week aside in the spring, that's scheduled as we have a guest speaker to come, to set that week aside, to come each night, to hear God's Word, and to seek to free ourselves from distractions. One of the things he has us do is to shut off our TVs for the week, which sometimes seems so hard to do. But to just clear our minds, and instead of being distracted, read the Bible, read a good book, come to church and hear God's Word, and instead of immediately going to the TV even when we get home, think about it. Meditate on it. It's easy to be distracted, maybe even distracted doing good things. But there is one thing that is needful. It's listening to the voice of God. It's hearing God's Word. It's spending time in the Bible and saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." We first notice Samuel's attention to God's Word. But there's another point I want you to see. In Samuel's brief prayer, he refers to himself as God's servant. He says, "Speak, for your servant heareth." Samuel understood what it meant to be a servant because he was a servant of Eli. And whatever Eli told him to do, he had to do. In fact, even in this story, what happens when he heard his name called? Immediately, he gets up. He runs to Eli and he says, "Here I am. You called me." He knew what it meant to be a servant. He knew what it meant to serve a master. What does a servant do? Whatever the master tells him to do. Our school that I went through in high school and elementary, it was the same school as a Christian school. One of the fundraisers that the grade 12 class, we call them seniors, they would do fundraisers to raise money for their trip. They would do a senior trip toward the end of the school year. One of their fundraisers was called Senior Slave Day. And I don't remember doing it as a senior. So either it's just so painful, I blocked it out of my memory, or maybe they did away with it. I don't remember why. But I remember in elementary, our class would get together and pool our funds together, and we would buy a senior. That's kind of how it worked. Each senior would be auctioned, and they would be a slave for the day. And I remember being in grade school, and we'd have this, you know, old, you know, 17, 18-year-old student in our class, and whatever we told him to do, he had to do, or she had to do. And the best part was lunch, because I guess our teacher let us do this. We would take all of our, you know, food, and we would make a concoction of our food, and then we would say, "You have to take a bite of this," and he had to do it because he was our slave. And I'm sure our teacher kind of tempered probably some of our ideas that we had, but that's what a slave does. A slave doesn't say, "Tell me what you want me to do, and I'll decide if I'll do it." No, they simply obey. They're submissive. And that's the second characteristic I want you to notice, is submission. Samuel said, "I'm your servant." He listened to God's Word, but with a heart of submission to what he heard. He was willing to do what God told him to do. And notice that Samuel says this before he hears what God's going to tell him to do. Isn't that the temptation? "God, you tell me the message, And then I'll decide if I'm going to be a servant or not. If I like the message, well, maybe I'll do that. I mean, you do that. That's what I do. Someone says, hey, can you do a favor for me? I normally don't say, sure. I normally say, well, what are you thinking about? What do you have in mind? Not sure if I'm going to just give a blanket. Sure, it depends on maybe what the favor is. But if I'm a slave, I do what the master says. And that's what Samuel is saying. Before he even hears the message, he's submissive to what God says. I just quoted a few minutes ago James 1:19 that says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That kind of sounds strange, doesn't it? What does anger have to do with hearing God's word? In fact, he goes on to say in the next verse, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What does anger have to do with being swift to hear? Well, sometimes God's message is convicting. Sometimes the message of God's word is something we don't want to hear. And it's tempting for us to get angry or to disregard what we hear because we don't have a submissive heart. In Christ's parable of the soils, there were three types of soil that were fruitless. They were bad soil, but two of those types actually received the seed at first. But eventually they brought forth no fruit. And that's why Jesus, before he gives that story, says, take heed how you hear. We need to have a heart of not just attention to God's word, but a heart of submission. Do you approach God's word with a heart of humility? Do you come with a teachable spirit? James 1:21, the very next verse in James, he commands that we would receive the engrafted word with meekness, with humility, with a submissive spirit. Some people have no appetite for God's truth. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul warns the young preacher to keep preaching the word faithfully. He says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts will heap up for themselves teachers because they have itching ears. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But instead of wanting to have our ears tickled, we must seek God's truth. I want to hear the truth, even if it hurts, because I want to have fellowship with God. The psalmist in Psalm 139, right at the end, gives this prayer. A prayer for God to expose any sin. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's another good prayer that we could say before we come to God's word this next week. He invites God's scrutiny. He invites and welcomes exposure to sin so that he can be more in fellowship with God. So this is a prayer that we should pray. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's a prayer that we should say each time we walk into this auditorium, that we would give our attention to God's word with a heart of submission. Before we leave, I want you to notice one more important observation from his response. And let's listen to what God tells Samuel in verse 11 of chapter 3. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth, it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons have made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here am I." He said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And he did let none of his words fall to the ground. This was certainly a difficult message for Samuel to deliver to Eli. But what we see here is clear. Samuel obeyed the voice of the Lord. It says he told Eli everything. He kept nothing from him. Verse 19 says, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel continued to faithfully obey God's calling for his life. And that brings us to the third characteristic of a receptive heart, and that is action. We must give God's word attention. We must approach God's word with submission. And we must follow through with action. In James 1, as I've been mentioning kind of these verses in a row, after he tells these Christians to be swift to hear and tells them to receive the word with humility, he then gives this command. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. I'm excited about this week of preaching coming up. I get to preach and teach a lot, but I need preaching. And I'm praying this same prayer that I hope you'll pray along with me. That we'll be attentive to God's word. That we'll have a submissive heart to God's will. And that we'll actively obey what God tells us to do. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, I pray that you would help us. We hear a lot of preaching. A group who are here faithfully on a Wednesday night are certainly listening to preaching several times a week. And Father, that's a great blessing because it gives us opportunity to hear from you and to learn about you and to even be convicted by you so that we can live in fellowship with you. Father, I am thankful for this week set aside to hear your word each night. I pray you would convict us of our sin. I pray that you would search us, know our hearts, and try us and know our thoughts. and see if there's any wicked way in us so that you can lead us in your perfect way. So, Father, we pray as your people, asking you to work. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good night.